coast to coast, in every state in the Union, the more than 3,000 DeSoto Plymouth dealers of America present Groucho Marx in You Bet Your Life.
Everybody is to leave here immediately. This cafe is closed until further notice. Clear the room at once.
How can you close me up? On what ground?
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
You're winning, sir.
Oh, thank you very much. Everybody out at once.
Yes, and hello once again. I'm Max Rat, and welcome to the Max Rat NFL football show. I'm here today with my buddy, the Chief, and we're going to deliver you a show tonight and give you some of our picks on the for the NFL this week. Chief, how you doing?
Good, Max. Good afternoon. Good evening.
Cool.
Whatever time it is, I have no idea.
Whatever time it is for everybody else, too. We got week two, NFL. Last week, why don't you tell me, just for the record, folks, as you know, last week I was 3-0 on my picks for the for my conspiracy picks. The G-Man went 2-1. G-Man's not with us here tonight, so
he's still with us, though, right?
Yes. Hopefully. Oh, yeah, he's with G-Man us. G-Man is with us, for sure.
He went 2-1. What did you see? I heard your three picks off there.
Yeah.
Can you tell him
what they were? Yeah, the G-Man picked the over. I can't remember what he picked now. He had over 36 in the with the Colts in the Indianapolis game.
No, that wouldn't have won.
Okay, that was the one.
It wasn't 36. It was probably like 46.
Okay, so that was no. You know what? I'm spazzing out here. Hold on a second. Let me just take a look at the schedule from last week. You know what? Hold on. I'm pausing. Hold on one second.
It's not really that important. Yeah, it's really. Yeah. If you want to move on, I'm sorry.
Okay, let's move on. I forgot. I literally forgot.
I was just kind of interested in what he had liked. And I heard your picks. You like Chicago. You took Chicago.
Yes.
The Patriots. And what was the other one?
I took
Dallas. Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
Okay.
I squeaked that one out.
Yeah. Well, Dallas
I got four and a half
pretty easily.
Yeah, I got four and a half, oh, and then...
Four and a half. Okay. Yeah, that game line went out
much
further.
He had San Diego was the game that we lost.
Okay.
And so what was the over-under on that one?
That didn't go over. That was... total was, I think, 47, and I think they scored...
Right, but they were laying...
41 or 45.
What was the spread on that game?
They were laying, like... 8.5, and they won by 7.
Right. So that was the one that we didn't cover, and then the other two.
And they should have won that game easily. They dominated. The Chargers completely dominated that game. The Vikings threw for 39 yards. The Vikings returned the opening kickoff, which obviously helped. And then on that opening kickoff, the San Diego kicker hurt his knee.
You know what? We won that game. He had the Vikings in that game.
Oh, okay. And Vikings plus the points. Well, he had no business winning that game. He was on the wrong side of that.
Okay. And so that was two of them. Then there was an over-under. There was an over 36. I forgot which one it was, but it was a low over-under.
Over in the Cincinnati Browns game?
No, it was different. No, it wasn't that. It was...
I'm trying to think what was that low. That's interesting.
It was a low number. I remember because we discussed it. I can't remember.
Okay. Well, overall, 13 out of the 16 games went over. Last week, there was a lot of scoring. To be expected a little bit. I think some people were thinking that the defenses would be better off after the lockout, but it looked like the offenses would be. And this week already, you're seeing almost all the totals having already jumped a point or two, and the public is staunchly on the overs in pretty much every single game, except for the St. Louis Rams and New York Giants Monday night. The public's actually on the under in that one, which I was surprised to see. But every other game, Public's on the over.
Oh, that's what it was.
I don't know.
St. Louis. That was the game we lost. It was a St. Louis game.
St. Louis over.
But what was there? I think it was. Yeah, but what was the who did they play?
They played the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, so I guess did that go under?
It was tricky. The line, like on Thursday, it was 43.5.
No, we took the points. He took the points on that one, we took the points with St. Louis, and we lost.
Oh, okay. Yeah, me too. That was my best bet of the week. Was St. Louis.
Really?
I'm glad I good company there with G-Men.
Cool. So, Chief, I got to pause this for 1 second. I'm sorry. 1 second.
Okay. Hold on.
Yeah. So, all right. So we got a schedule this week.
What's that?
What do we got this week?
Oh, we got the fall slate. Just also to recap a little bit last week. I think the favorites and the underdogs split pretty much, and I think it wasn't necessarily a good week for the public or a good week for the bookies. I think it was a pretty split across the board. I would think the bookies probably took a hit with the overs, especially all the televised games went over. I'm sure the public made some money there, but
because the public tends to go over in general, or no?
Oh yeah, overs and favorites. The public is on, you know, for the majority.
Gotcha. So that's an interesting concept, because the way I look at I was saying to G-Man last week that he's like, oh, you can't fix a game because the ball bounces in different directions or whatever. But I think that all you need to do is shift the odds a little bit in your favor. And again, what I've said to you before is, like, when you know who's not going to win, so and unders are where they fix the totals.
Yeah, maybe. It's really hard to say. I mean, obviously they didn't the first week, that's for sure. It was 13 of 16 going over, so... I don't know if that's necessarily the case. There could be definitely some like big games that where, you know, someone is very, very loaded up one way or the other, where things could be.
You call a holding call, whatever, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't take too much, but still, it's no guarantee, that's for sure. I mean, there's only so much a ref can do. If they're going to score 80 or 90 points in a game.
Right, but I don't disagree that you can't guarantee a win, but you can, like I said, if you shift the odds a little bit, that's really all you need.
Sure.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, over time, but it's...
Right,
it's
over time.
But to have that, you know, happening on a consistent basis, I don't know. I don't think it's happening that the unders are coming in because of referees' play. It's just, it's numeric, and it's... They make the totals are a little higher than they should actually be because their public is on them, and that's why I think there is probably more value taking unders. But you got to be very careful, and if you know you just blanket take all the unders, there could be a season, or you know, this year maybe the year that just scoring is just goes up and things change, and you know. So I'm not going to suggest take the under in every game the rest of the year, but certainly I like unders more than overs.
I wouldn't agree with ever doing a sweeping like that, but I would say. That's where you can look for values, I think, is in the unders.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what do you think?
For a particular game this week, a couple that really jumped out. Well, you know, again, I like the underdogs. I like going against the public. And there's a bunch of games that are really screaming out at me with a lot of public going one way. And the line, you know, I almost where you can't make the line big enough. I like the Carolina Panthers +10 over Green Bay. You know, how did Green Bay look Thursday night? I don't like the fact they get extra rest. That does help. But this early in the season, I don't think the extra rest. But they do have actually a few days of preparation, which does help. But 10 points, I think Carolina can keep that game close. I think that they actually have a player in Cam Newton, the quarterback. So public's heavy on Green Bay, but the line hasn't moved out. It opened 10. It stayed 10. And, you know, maybe it moves out tomorrow and goes out to you know, towards 12 or 13.
And I think the statistics say that the Super Bowl champ usually doesn't cover the first three games, even though they did cover last game.
But yeah, the Super Bowl champ has done pretty well in that opener. I know they've won the opening game now, I don't know how many years in a row, going back maybe 6-7 years now, that the team that's won the Super Bowl, they've been opening up with the Super Bowl winner on that Thursday night game. And since they've been doing that, that Thursday night Super Bowl team has won the first game. So I don't know about going forward.
Cool. So you think that 10 points is too much on the
It's not that I think it's too much. I think that the line is actually, you know, right. Actually, I think the line is almost not enough, because why is the public still so heavy on Green Bay, and why haven't they moved the line? So that's kind of what I'm looking at. I think there's a lot of the smarter money's on Carolina, and the public's on Green Bay, and I'm going to take my chances with the smarter money.
Cool. And what about what you really think a rookie quarterback is? Can any ever be for real?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, I think Sam Bradford was pretty good last year. I'm not sure what the record was. I know they were 7-9.
I know Marino debunked my theory on that one for sure.
Bradford was. They had been pretty good against the spread last year. I actually know they were pretty good against spread, and you know, I've seen some rookie quarterbacks come in and do some things right off the bat, especially against the spread. Not necessarily winning a lot of games, but you know, doing well because they're not going to be valued. But they're you know, pretty talented team, Carolina, and I don't know. It's just one of those that I think you just take that. You also take San Francisco against Dallas. They're getting 3 points at home. Very similar situation here where the public's heavy on Dallas, and the point spread, if anything, is open 3 and it's kind of almost moving in a little bit. It's still 3 points, but you know, when the line gets to 3, they just start moving the odds instead of the line because they don't want to get middled there. So I think San Francisco's a play. And then there's another one, Tennessee Titans. They're getting 6 points from Baltimore. Baltimore couldn't have looked any better last week. They absolutely rolled Pittsburgh. They've been waiting all summer for that game. They had that emotional win. Now they got to go on the road. Tennessee playing the home opener, getting 6 points. I like those three games. Those three underdogs.
So say that again. You like Tennessee?
Tennessee plus 6 over Baltimore, yeah.
So you thought Baltimore shot their load last week? They did.
Not
that was
they
impressive.
Shot their
load. Impressive game.
Oh, sure. I don't think they shot their load. I think they're going to win.
Oh, you know what?
Probably win.
Chief, that was the under 36. That was the over 36 game.
Oh, okay. Over Baltimore, Pittsburgh.
Yes. He won that game.
Yeah, well, Baltimore pretty much almost scored that by themselves. He didn't get a lot of help from Pittsburgh.
Right,
that
but Baltimore got it home.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, that was a good call. And actually, Pittsburgh moved the ball somewhat well in that game. They actually had some chances to score. They turned the ball over a bunch of times. Otherwise, they should have been actually more points scored in that game. But I don't think Baltimore shot their load. I just think this is a spot where, again, here the point spread's moved out. This one is the one I like the least amount of these three, because we have seen the point spread move out, so I don't think you have the smart money exactly coming in on Tennessee, but I'm going to take my chances with them, and I'm going to take my chances with those three, and I think you go 2-1. I don't think you win all three, because I think one of those teams will probably get blown out, but I think that you win two of those games.
All right, so the three is, you're saying, you like to get Tennessee getting 6, the
Panthers getting 10.
Right.
And the 49ers getting 3.
Really? You see, I'm going to have to go against you on that one. Because,
yeah.
Why do you think that? Why do you think the 49ers are going to, you don't think Dallas is? I thought that Dallas has a lot of talent at every position almost, you know. Romo just kind of, and I think that they might be a little bit ornery because they, you know, they thought they had a chance to win that game last week.
Oh, sure. But I think that San Francisco is a very talented team as well. I think
they are?
They are. They have a very talented offensive line, probably one of the better offensive lines in the league. They have a solid defense. They have one of the best defensive players in the league in Patrick Willis. They have a good running game with Frank Gore and behind that offensive line. The special teams made some plays that obviously was the reason why they covered the spread. They won week one, but they covered because Ted Ginn returned a punt, a kickoff that might be a little hard to do because I think Dallas will be, they have a kicker that will kick the ball into the end zone, so he won't get a chance to return a kickoff. But, you know, the punt team in Dallas has obviously made a huge mistake. I think Dallas is okay, but I just feel like they're a little snake bit here. And again, the public is really heavy on Dallas, and San Fran is just, he's always a team that I back. And
really?
We'll see how it goes. Yeah.
All right, let me play a
clip. They're good against the spread, San Fran. They really are. They're good at home against the spread. And Alex Smith, as bad as he can be as a quarterback, at home he's actually had some success. They have some, you know, they have a very talented tight end, probably one of the best tight ends in the league. I mean, they have some real players on that team.
They still got Singletary coaching him?
No.
Good. That's a plus.
Yeah, they have Jim Harbaugh's coaching him coming from Stanford.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about him quick kicking it or anything like that or whatever.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's actually was a pretty good defensive coach and a decent motivator, but he would make so many mistakes within the game. And, you know, like I said, I bet San Francisco a lot last year, and there was just so many times
he blew,
going
we get killed with San Francisco last year a couple times because of Singletary as well. So, cool, let me play a clip, and then I want to get back and we'll discuss. I want to ask you about the why they moved to kicking back anyway, but here, let me just do this. Hold on.
Tired defense. No matter how good your defense is, right. The more they get tired, the less of a great defense they are, more of a tired defense they become.
Yeah. So it's important to get a lot of rest.
Well, I mean, you want to get rest, but I mean, Peyton Farber, that guy, he won't let you get rest. Right. I mean, boom, boom, boom. He keeps going. Exactly. I mean, if you can't stop him, you're out on the field too long. It's a Super Bowl. You got to come to play.
Yeah.
And they did come to play, but you get worn down trying to play, and you think, hey, what can we do? But there's nothing you can do.
No.
Yeah, because he keeps wearing you down. It's a Super Bowl. Yeah. Anything with super in it, they.
Exactly.
Super Mario Brothers. Right. That's a big one. Superman. I mean, Super Sal. Super Sal's the only one I don't like. Super Sal, you think about that. Yeah. Hey, that's the only one you don't like because it doesn't have any turkey in it.
Right.
Rachel Ray on the show.
If the end has the linebacker taken in, he will come around it and seal inside. What we're trying to get is a seal here and a seal here and try to run this play in the alley.
Yeah. So, what about this? Why did they move the kickback? They're worried about players getting hurt or something like that?
That's the exact reason. There's a lot of injuries on kickoffs, and they wanted to, I guess, limit the amount of returns there are. But I think more importantly too is they don't allow the defending teams to get that running start. So just a little bit less momentum when they're coming in and hopefully a little bit less contact because there have been some bad injuries on the kickoff. But
what do you mean by the running start? That was another rule change that they don't let you start running up to the line.
Yeah, the defending team can only get like a 5-yard running stop. So the kickoff's from the 35-yard line, and now the defensive team can't be behind the 30 before the kick. So they get a little bit of a run, and then there's an emphasis to make sure that the teams aren't offsides. But before, they would kick off from the 30, and they would be starting around the 15, getting like a full running start. And believe it or not, it makes a difference with just some of the intense impacts. But I don't really like it because, I don't want to see all these touchbacks. The kick is it's a very exciting play. Now, the thing is, we haven't seen that many. We've seen a lot of touchbacks, obviously, but it hasn't been just automatic. And we've seen a couple. I said Ted Ginn of San Francisco, he returned a kickoff. Randall Cobb returned a kickoff in the opening game for Green Bay. So, it's possible to return the kicks, but you're going to see, obviously, a lot more touchbacks.
Ted Ginn returned two kicks last week.
He returned a punt, a punt and a kickoff, yeah.
Pretty good, huh?
It was very good, especially when you were laying 5.5. It was great.
All right, so I'll give you some crazy picks now. You see, I think that because of the economic situation in the country, and I do believe that the sports are, they do what's, you can call it what's good for the league, right? But in a way, what's good for the league is what's good for America, and that those things kind of play into each other, I believe. So I think that that the powers that be want to have, they want American people to fight with each other. And one of the ways to fight with each other is through, like, racial stuff. Okay, so I'm going to go with a black quarterback pick. And I'm going to say that McNabb at Minnesota, I like him. I like them getting 2.5 or laying 2.5. I might even say take one in the first half, because in that regard they want to rub the black quarterback success in your face. And I think on the other hand, that might work against Vic at Philadelphia. Because I think they gave him this big contract, and they want everybody to be like, oh, what did they give him a big contract for, and now he's screwing up again, or something like that. So I think they're going to always give all the calls against Vic, but I think on the other hand, they're going to give Minnesota a lot of calls. So I think I'm going to either lay 2.5 for the game, or even one for the first half at Minnesota. And then I think that... On that note, I might even have to. There's something I feel like. Don't you think that 2.5 laying, Philadelphia laying 2.5, is kind of peculiar in Atlanta? Or do you think?
Well, yes, I think it's peculiar.
It doesn't. I mean, as somebody who doesn't know as much as you, I think it seems like it should have been. I would have thought it would have been way more.
You just, okay,
it's almost like they're trying.
Oh no! I think most people are most of the pundits. Most people are surprised that Philly is favored.
Yeah, but why? Yeah, but you see, I don't know anything. Whenever I think of Philly, I just think of Vic. You know, and I think of how,
right?
You know, as dumb money. I'm the public. I'm not the smart money.
Right.
So
well, Matt Ryan is first of all, in that Minnesota Tampa Bay game, Tampa Bay Buccaneers have a black quarterback. So I don't know. You know, there'll be two black quarterbacks playing against each other.
Fair
I know
enough.
McNabb is the much more notable one, but if Josh Freeman of Tampa Bay becomes a big time quarterback, which I think a lot of people think he has.
I think he's got great talent, no question.
Yeah. I don't think I completely disagree with the black quarterback theory. I don't necessarily 100% disagree that, you know, certain, you know, what's good for the league, which, you know, maybe, you know, Detroit's upswing could be something. I don't know. Is that something that's good for the league and good for a downtrodden city?
Well, but, G-Man didn't like any of my I think both of you guys aren't going to like any of my picks, but I was 3-0.
The thing is, I actually like Minnesota.
Okay.
Because Minnesota is the only favorite this week that actually has more of the public on the underdog. It's very slight, and that line has come in. It opened up 3 Minnesota and Tampa Bay. I think that's going to be a pick that I'll put out tomorrow morning on my website, thechiefsports.com.
Tell us what's thechiefsports.com?
Yeah.
There you go. We got to check. We've got to plug the website.
But, yeah, that would be a pick. I like Minnesota as a possible pick. Because of that, I want to see what that line does. I want to see if that line holds in. I'm afraid if it goes into Pick'em, that could be a play where Tampa, there might be a stay away. But I like Atlanta, too, for some other reasons. It's interesting that you think that Philly, the betting public likes Philly.
That's what I would think.
Yeah.
But you think that's why they're even favored at all in Atlanta?
Right, yes. And it's very odd because Mike Francesa picked Atlanta, and he's, you know, one of these, that, you know, these pundits, which I don't necessarily agree or disagree with what he's saying, but then in the New York Post, pretty much everyone had the Falcons. But when I look at my other betting websites that are more public generated, it was
mainly
a lot on the Eagles, a lot on Philly. So which is strange because normally the public and the pundits are the same way too. And some guys like to say the newspapers guys. And
did they have any health issues? Philly last week. Did anybody get injured of key significance?
Not that I know of. I mean, they played pretty well. I mean, I actually thought the Rams had a really good chance in that game. I think Steven Jackson getting hurt he scored a touchdown. He gets hurt. That really changed what the Rams were going to do. And the Rams have a terrible wide receivers, and one of their top wide receivers got hurt also midway through the game. So I don't know how good Philly's defense is. I think Philly's going to give up a lot of points. I think Atlanta's offense is going to be the story. Michael Turner's going to run all over Philly. I like Atlanta, too, as a pick.
I think I'm going with Atlanta because people like want to. They're not gonna let Vic make everybody look good by giving him a giant contract. I think that was to get under people's skin. So I think that whole thing was to get all the racist people under their skin, like, oh, yeah, no, I can't believe it. They let a dog fight their guy back in the league and this and that. And then they gave him this big contract. So I think that they're gonna make him out to be a skate. They're going to make – I think that's what's good for the league is to make Vic look bad. That's my
I don't know about that. I mean, he obviously had a year of redemption last year. But, you know, it's interesting with him returning to Atlanta. I mean, that's obviously, I think, the bigger story.
Oh, really?
Is where, you know, him coming back to Atlanta. Will he try to do too much? Will he be super motivated? You know, how will his teammates be – you know, sometimes, you know, the teammates usually have your back and really play, you know, to the best of their ability. But I don't know. I just think that the Philly defense isn't strong, and I think that Atlanta's offense is great, and it's great at home. And I think that they're going to score a ton of points.
They were impressive last year. They won a lot of games that I didn't think they were going
to
win.
They did. They won every home game, and they did lose in the playoffs. They lost to Green Bay, and Green Bay pretty much soundly beat them too in that game. It was a couple tough breaks. Atlanta had a couple bad turnovers, but
Green Bay was a juggernaut though at the end of the year too.
They were. On the hot team, and they took Philly down, and then they took Atlanta down.
So now my other team that I look at, the teams that I look at in general for my conspiracy picks are New England, because they're the Patriots, and that just sound they love the Patriots. So they're playing 7 against San Diego at home. What do you think about that game? I might have to lay the 7 on that game.
Yeah, that one is one I'm totally staying away from.
You never know, like, if they get in their pass, if Rivers gets going, you never know. But
well, that's the thing is, because the New England defense didn't look very good. If Miami can move the ball on you, then what is San Diego going to do?
Okay, all right, that's true.
I'm not betting against New England yet. I picked Miami Monday night, but it wasn't a game that I bet, and I wouldn't suggest betting. I just... Every Monday night game, I like to at least give you a thought of what I'm thinking. But this game, I want to stay away from. I have a hard time believing that they won't score more than 53 points. But again, everyone's on the over in this one. But you have the two incredible offenses, really.
What about New Orleans and Chicago?
That's another tough one. You have the Brian Urlacher situation where his mother passed away, and now he's rejoined the team, and I think that's a lot of emotion there for Chicago. Chicago's had really had New Orleans' number and Drew Brees' number, but New Orleans coming off a loss, they have that little extra time to prepare. Home opener,
and they're home.
Real loud crowd. Yeah, that crowd is great in New Orleans.
I think I might have to take New Orleans on that one against Chicago, just because I think they gave Chicago the last game.
Yeah, I don't know if they gave the Chicago the last game or Chicago earned it by playing great defense. And, again, the home field, I think, is kind of a big deal that first week. And, I'm kind of split on this.
Did New Orleans play at home? They were playing in Green Bay last week?
Yeah, they played in Green Bay, yeah.
All right, so I'm going to go here. Here's three picks for you, and then we can chat a little bit about some over-unders or whatever, and Monday night. But I'm going to lay the points with New England, even though I think that's a big... I'm going to lay the points with New England at home. I'm going to take Minnesota, laying 2.5, and I'm going to take... I think I got to go with New Orleans... Lane 6 and hook, which is a crazy bet. And you know what? I'm going to give you 4 picks, and I'm going to take Atlanta, getting 2.5. Those are my 4 picks for my for the crazy max picks.
I actually like them. I'm not sure about that. I like the Falcons pick. I like the Vikings pick. The other two, I can't say I don't like or do like. But
okay, so what do you say about my Giants on Monday night? I'm a diehard. That's my favorite team in any sport, and I thought they looked absolutely horrific. I thought they looked bad, I thought, last week. I mean, I thought that they really just that was, if that's the way you're going to start the season, I mean, I don't know. I thought that they just didn't look like they had anything. They looked like they didn't even really come to play. So.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
St. Louis kind of sucks.
Because early on, they do, and St. Louis is hurt. And that line's moved out a bit from, opened up 3.5, 4 to out to 6.5. It's really reopened 6.5 with Steven Jackson's out and Amendola's out. So they have some big injuries there in
St.
Louis.
So the public is all over the Giants.
Well, the line's moved out because of the injury, not so much the public. The public, I think, is kind of... I think they're definitely on the Giants, but I don't think they're heavily... Yeah, they're pretty heavy. It's about 70-30, which is... it's kind of... No, I wouldn't say heavy. It's definitely leaning towards... Because it's probably 60-40 is kind of par. So 60-40 favorite is what I would consider the average. So if we're talking about 70% on the favorite, that's kind of a high number. But... this is another tough one. I don't like to go with kind of the obvious play, but with the injuries to the Rams, and I liked the Redskins in week one. I didn't pick them, but I actually did play them on my own. But I did like the Redskins week one. I thought it was kind of a tough spot for the Giants. And again, I think the home opener Monday night, I think they're going to have their best effort. A little tough with Steve Spagnuolo, the coach of the Rams, used to be the defensive coordinator for the Giants, and the Giants have to make sure they do some things with the playbook. Supposedly, the Redskins knew a lot of the plays that were coming. That was a big issue.
Okay.
Yeah, so the Giants haven't changed their audible calls in a while. So hopefully they spend the week and they have an extra day playing on Monday changing the calls, because Steve Spagnuolo probably knows that playbook pretty well.
Which will confuse all the Giants for sure, because, they can't remember all the new plays.
Eli Manning, he's actually one of the smarter quarterbacks.
Right.
He may not look facially, but he's actually very, very bright, and he's great at the line of scrimmage. But yeah, he's had some problems in the past with some of his other players. But the offensive line is pretty sharp, too, so hopefully they'll get it together.
And Washington's another team that I think is in my radar, because they're, they represent the Washington, D.C., so...
Yeah.
So you got... So, and I guess in a funny way, because I think that, it does seem like the powers in Washington are throwing our whole economy into the crapper. So I would think, I'm not sure if that means that they're going to make Washington out to be a sucky team, or they're going to try to make them look good so everybody thinks still has some faith in Washington.
Well, that's interesting, but
so
they've been a sucky team for a long time.
What's Arizona looking like?
They look okay. Kevin Cobb, the new quarterback. They won. They beat the Panthers by 7. The spread was right there. Might have been a push for some people. Might have been a cover for some other people. Line was 6.5, 7 in that game. Their defense didn't look very good. Their secondary looked pretty bad, giving up 400 plus points to Cam Newton. Steve Smith torched them. So
I would have to lean towards Arizona on this game for some reason. Just because whenever they make Washington a favorite, I'm worried, because they've thrown some clunkers in there.
That's
I don't think they care at all if they're home.
I don't know. Again, they look
in the old days, they used to win at home all the time. But now, now they're just like, after the last couple of years, they look like they don't. Who knows what they're going to do? They trade.
Yeah,
away
I'm not
all
sure
the players
about that one. It's an interesting thought about, the Redskins have been awful for a long time now, and I don't know if people do look at it, but, it's another really bad mismanagement in Washington, but if they're going to try to turn them around, again, you can't turn, it's really hard to turn around a team just with, penalty calls and this and that in the league. It's really...
Yeah, but I also agree. I also believe they get one or two players. I always, with the quarterbacks, whether they like last year when they took Cutler out in the playoffs, there's definitely other, and back to LeBron James, come on. there's definitely players that can be, especially in football, it's a quarterback, and in basketball, it could be a star player, and soccer, it's a goalie. But you know, and then you only need one player to, and then you only need the coach maybe to take him out of the game, or you need or the refs can stop a good player too. Sometimes, you know.
I could see that, you know, over maybe the course of a season, you know, to
I think it's hard to like here. it's hard to predict like a running back. I don't believe you can use to fix, because he can't guarantee to rush for 300 yards, but or unless you get him to fumble it, but then they could yank him out of the game, so you know,
right.
So I don't think that's the player. That's why. So that's back to the Minnesota thing. They have Adrian Peterson. So they're not, that can't be. You can't fix him. You know. If he's running with the ball, he's trying. You know, he's not gonna like not show up to run. So anyway, that's my theory on that. What about over any? Okay, go ahead.
The over under is a little tricky. I mean. Obviously,
what about this giant number at New England, 53?
Yeah, that's one that the way the New England team looks like they're playing.
You have to bet that they have a shootout, you know.
The way New England is playing right now, their offense looks pretty unstoppable. And they throw the ball so much that, you know, they score quickly and incomplete passes stop the clock. So you have such a throwing dominated team.
And San Diego throws the ball too.
Exactly, and they're really good in the red zone, and they score a lot of points. It's hard to take this under.
With a number like that, it's a perfect game to fix the under.
Yeah,
right. You know, because you get so much slack.
It would be, and the public is certainly on the over, but they're on the over in every game except for that Rams Niners game. The Rams Giants game. That's the only one.
Chief, the more I think about it, I'm going under on this New England game. It's too easy.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It looks too easy, right?
Yeah, it's too easy to stop, because again, it's easy to predict to promise that you won't score. It's hard to promise you will. Right.
And,
so
and 53, if you do have a couple situations where
it's a lot of touchdowns. And what about the weather? What if it rains or it's cold up in New England or something like that?
Well, the line would move. I would assume the weather should be okay. I haven't looked, but I think the weather should be fine tomorrow.
All they have to do is pull out the weather weapons, and that's it. You know?
The weather weapon, yeah, they're a little hard. They had the weather weapon just out of the blue, or, you know.
They can set it up. I'm not sure. Is New England on the near water? Is that stadium near water over there?
I'm not really sure how close Foxborough is.
Because the weather weapons work better with near the water. Otherwise, you have to do a tornado.
Oh, okay.
You see, but if you're near the water, then you could count on the rain, you know? That's, I think, how... I don't think they can make it rain unless they're near the water, because they suck the water out of the ocean they throw it on your head. You know, that's how the weather weapons work, I believe.
Okay.
So I think that the rain, you can count on... But I don't think they're using weather weapons to fix football games. I think that's a little bit far-fetched. I think... They're
going
to use it for more...
Very excessive use.
That's for the infrastructure bank. That's what they use it for. So anyway, you got any ideas about the over-unders?
You know, again, I guess I like some selected unders here. You can watch and see which ones move down. They're all, I mean, everything's heavy over public. But again, I don't want to buck the trend from week one. So maybe the ones that haven't really gone up a whole lot. Let me see which ones may be. Maybe Cincinnati, Denver. Could be an under, maybe. That's one that.
After them pulling Cutler out, I always got to watch for any game Chicago's in, because I believe that there are people at Chicago who are in on these fixes. Because of that Cutler thing. So that means that if you want to, it's easier to fix the under. So I would say that's another one to look out for, under 47.5 at New Orleans. That could be you know what? Yeah, I like those too. So you know what? Let me play a clip and a quick song, and then we're gonna come back and we'll just go. Let's just go over everything we picked, and we'll call it a show.
Okay.
Is that cool? Good. Okay, hold on a second.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so here we go.
Gentlemen, this is the most important play we have. It's the play we must make go. It's the play that we will make go. And it's the play that we will run again and again and again.
Back. Okay, so Chief, so now let's just go through all, and folks, don't, first of all, if you're smart, don't listen to anything I say, okay, because I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm just trying to go with my, I said this year I was going to try to, like, pick the games according to, like, some psychological, like, political hunches, and that's what I'm trying to do, but if you want to know somebody who really is up on this and knows a lot about wagering, then I would suggest you listen to the G-Man and the Chief. Take it away, Chief. Give me some... let's just go over your picks.
Yeah, I would say that your... I don't think your picks are off base. So,
although I was 3-0.
Yeah, you were... No, exactly. You were 3-0 last week, and I think you have some very live picks this week. So,
okay.
Good luck.
Tell me exactly what you want to go on record as picking right now, and then I'm going to tell you mine, and then we'll leave it so we could check it next week.
I'm going to give my best bet is the San Francisco 49ers +3 over the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay, so you want to give me a little weight on each bet, like which one you like the best?
I like that one just, you know, a little bit more. If it was out of five, maybe three.
And, so you like the Niners getting the three?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then probably about the same, maybe slightly less, Carolina plus the 10. Carolina Panthers plus 10 over the Green Bay Packers.
Cool.
That'll be a closer game. I mean, I assume Green Bay will win, but that's where the points will help you. And then my third one is the Tennessee Titans plus 6 over the Baltimore Ravens.
Okay, and that's on a best bet scale, which is how do you rate the last second two? So you're saying that you said you like Frisco as your best bet.
Yeah, I would say 3, 2.5, and 2.
Okay.
Out of 5.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And those are your picks for this week.
Yeah, and but just talk about some of the other games. I agree. I like the Minnesota Vikings as well. I like the Atlanta Falcons too. And then maybe one other being those two. I would agree with you on those.
All right, I'm gonna go with the Vikings laying the 2 in the hook at home, and then I am gonna take the Falcons getting 2.5. And I also I like the under 47.5 in New Orleans, and I also like under 53.5 in New England. Those are my I gave you 4 today. This is my 4. I gave you 4 conspiracy picks for Max Rat, and that's the show. So thanks for coming aboard, Chief. We'll get back to you next week, and we'll see how we did.
Great, thanks.
Okay, man. All the best.
Good
and see you soon. Thanks, man.
All right, great. Bye.
Okay, folks. That's a show. That's a wrap. I'm Max Rat. Thanks for tuning in to the Max Rat NFL show. And as you can see, We're on our way in the NFL season, and it should be interesting. I got some people making noise outside my door over here, but what can you do about that? Let me play you another song. Thanks for tuning in to the Max Rat NFL show. Here's a song. Here's the Rolling Stones for you. All the best.
They're killing me, Whitey. They're killing me.
Stewie. Hey.
Hey there. So, it's been 24 hours. Got my money?
Oh, you know what? Just give me till next Friday. I'll have it for you.
Oh. Oh, that's funny. I could have sworn I said have it today.
Yeah, I don't have it. Sorry.
Oh. Well, all right then. That's good, OJ.
Ah!
Yeah, that hurt?
Ah!
That hurt?
What the hell?
Yeah, it feels so good, does it?
Ah!
No,
huh? Oh!
Yeah, that's what happens, man.
Oh, my God!
Yeah, that's what happens.
Where's
my money? You gonna give me my money? Where's my money, man? Where's the money? Yeah, you like that? That feel good? That feel good? Where's the money, man? Where's my money? You got till 5 o'clock. You hear me? You got till 5 o'clock.
You freaking psychopath!
Clean yourself up.